Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Hey, gamers.
So, hello, Bosseroos. Gamers.
How are we doing?
Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Right, playing games?
Yeah.
Guess we'll find out later.
I suppose we will. No spoilers now. How are you, though? Are you well?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've been moaning to you two about my neck this morning.
Yeah, you've got old man neck.
It's this side, so when I look at the camera, it hurts a lot. So I might not look at the camera much today.
Okay.
I'll just give you side eye rather.
Or you could do the Batman and turn your entire torso.
Well, I've been doing that. When I had to turn the thing on just now, I went...
rather than
just lean over.
Is it because it's cold or is it just because you're
old? I think
old?
It's just the way I slept. I don't think it's even because I'm old. I've not had like a sore neck in a very long time. It's almost a novelty. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm enjoying hearing about it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm having a great time.
I hope I hear about it more today.
Well, Peter, don't let us down.
I won't.
You've got to mention it a few more times.
I should address it to the camera. You know, that's why I'm, you know, looking stiff as hell.
Yeah,
that's why.
Well, we got the heat. We're cranking that heating now.
Yeah. It's so cold.
Hopefully that'll warm up your neck joints a little bit. Yeah. Ashton, you're coming down with the sickness.
I think I am. Yeah. Yeah, I keep having like sneezing fits. I know that's not completely unusual because I never sneeze once, but they're like proper sneezes. So sometimes I'm like little sneezes, like girly sneezes. But now,
almost like, why are you even bothering?
Yeah.
Do an earth.
Well, that's what my boyfriend says. Oh, if you just sneeze properly, you won't sneeze as many times. And then if I sneeze properly, I just sneeze properly that many times.
Presumably you're not. Are you regulating the loudness of your sneeze?
Yeah, just being polite about it.
Okay.
Which I feel like some men aren't.
No, some men really aren't.
My dad will yell.
You just go for it.
Yeah. And my boyfriend and my dad, they both do the loudest sneezes ever. And I'm like, it's just not really needed, is it?
No, it's not.
You're just begging for attention.
Yeah.
I just do quiet sneezes.
How are you, Ben?
How are you?
Oh, thanks for asking. I'm doing okay, thank you. I'm going to... Geisha Italia later tonight, which we've talked about already before we started recording.
Which is a strange name for a
fascinated by the prospect of a Japanese Italian fusion restaurant. Presumably they're not.
Oh, it's a fusion.
No, it's actually fusion.
I don't think it's fusion. I was about to correct myself.
Name.
I think it's just Geisha is a series of restaurants that are in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then for some reason this one has also got Italia Grill attached to it. Okay. So you can get a lasagna and sushi.
Is Geisha a bar? And then you've got like
that's a great
an Italian
question. I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'll find out.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the update.
I'll report back next week. But the prospect of being able to get both kinds of food, it intrigues me.
It is exciting.
I'm wondering, are they both going to be crap?
Sushi pizza?
Is one going to be better than the other?
Yeah,
yeah, is there going to be bits of raw fish in my lasagna? I don't know.
Can you just get raw pizza, maybe?
Yeah.
Take it home and do it yourself. I have no idea. But apart from that, I'm all good. At the time of release, Spider-Man 2 is out. We're all very excited to play that game. We're recording on a Wednesday this week, though, very early. So we haven't actually played it yet, which is frustrating because it would be great to be
able to talk
about.
Well, we wouldn't have played it even if when the regular podcast comes out.
No, that's a great point.
Yeah, true.
But we have now played it. Maybe we can flash forward to future selves and then splice that in here. Is Spider-Man 2 good? Great.
Right.
That's great stuff. Shall we talk about this week's sponsor?
Yeah. That's work extra out. Work you've made for someone.
How we're going to do that? It comes out on Friday.
It's so simple.
The podcast comes out on Saturday.
It's so simple.
We're not going to have played it in time.
It's all right. Don't worry. I've got a
Should
plan.
We just do a video now where we say yes and we can just use that?
Yeah, do you want to just that do that?
I mean, that was my plan, but I was going to say it afterwards so it wasn't all in the podcast. But
okay. It's too late
we
now.
Can, no, we can do it. It's fine. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
God's sake, I had a plan.
Right.
You got the ad read, haven't you, please?
I've got the ad read right here.
Oh, a dead end to the spider has gone.
Oh. Well, let me do the ad read
first. It's because you bothered him last week. That's why.
Yeah. No, he'll be around. Well, I'll tell you about it in the ad read, though.
Oh, okay.
I think Dead Island 2 The Spider might be at some sort of red carpet event.
Oh, I see.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because for those who don't know, we've been working alongside Insomniac for a sort of a tandem game.
Why didn't they send us a code for the game?
Well, they
because they hate us. They hate
us. There's still time. Ourselves, we've had some involvement, but the main sort of star is Dead Island 2, The Spider.
Okay.
Because coming out on Friday, and we'll say in a minute whether or not it's good, is Dead Island 2, The Spider-Man 2. Thank you very much.
Okay. Very good. Excellent. So he's been. That's why he's not here. Marvel's is at the premiere.
Dead Island 2,
The Spider-Man 2.
Is it Dead Island 2, Marvel's The Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Man 2.
It's one of those, yeah.
Okay.
What's this one about?
It's basically you play as a superhero in the bustling metropolis of Newcastle upon Tyne. You just swing around. You can fast travel to like the other side of the map instantly.
Wow.
But you don't really want to. You mostly just want to stay in that corner.
Yeah.
Until a giant man
just pokes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what happens. Except it's not because it's not real.
Oh, what?
They've been too busy with Spider-Man 2. They don't have time to make another one.
Well, no. Then where is he?
Well, there is a big one in the ladies' toilet again.
Okay.
They love it in there. They're always in there.
They love it. They lurking. Spurvy spiders. They love it.
Watching ladies do
watching
toilet
ladies
things.
Watching ladies do toilet things.
No, yeah. We are not sponsored by Dead Island 2, Marvel's Dead Island 2, The Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
We are, of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you go and support us there, you get access to a bevy of rewards. And so many of you have heeded the recent call and signed up.
Head.
And it's so... Head?
Head. Sorry. No, it's not.
Have head the recent call. And it's so lovely to see you all there. We hope you're enjoying the amazing content you get access to, including asking questions on this podcast, exclusive access to Rules Boss and Main Menu. We're going to record a Christmas Main Menu today.
Yeah.
Nothing like dressing up like Santa Claus in October.
Nothing.
Also, you get early access to Weirdest and Worst Games Ever. Weirdest Games is a whole week early, and Worst Games Ever is 2 days early. It's so much, honestly. And you support us, which is the most important thing. And we love you, and we really appreciate it. So thank you very much to all our patrons. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. TripleJ.mup is our website. That's where you can find links to everything, including our YouTube, Twitch, Discord, our Cameo as well, if you want to request a message from one of us. TripleJumpShop.com is where you can get some amazing merchandise, including nothing that is currently being modeled by us today. Peter
I don't know what I've got under here.
Lifting up.
Yeah,
you can get that one.
He's got his lips out.
He just got his shirt. He's exposing his nipples. Yeah. This is why you want to watch the video version.
Yeah.
TripleJumpShop.com. Hopefully, new merch coming soon in time for the Christmas period if you want to buy that Triple Jump fan friend of yours a delightful gift. Patreon.com, as I've already said, .com/TeamTripleJump to check out what we've got going on there. Is there stuff coming out this week, Ashton?
No.
Brilliant.
Nothing.
It's a quiet weekend because it's a busy weekend next week. Mm. And it's also a busy week next week.
Yeah, oh, so busy.
Did you want to talk about what we were doing or keep that a little on the DL?
We can absolutely talk about it.
Next week, we are recording our video game.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting in the costumes.
The live action footage.
The live action footage for our video game. We're starting shooting that next week. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be good. A mm-hmm. little bit stressed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit worried. There's a lot to do. But that's what we're doing next week. So next week's podcast, we're going to be recording a little bit early. So the question post might go out early because we're doing that early. So we can get in enough time to shoot everything that we need to shoot, which is quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
However, obviously there's still this podcast that's gone out and four lists and mm-hmm. all of the live streams from this week have gone on the VODs channel. So it's not like there's nothing going out. It's just that there's nothing other than the usual.
No bonus shows.
And you're right. There's flipping tons of stuff coming out next week. And also we've just had a busy few weekends as well. Go check out Warhammer 40K Ranked. Mm. Go check out Why Do Gamers Buy Into the Console Wars from Ashton Matthews. Some excellent videos. And Kat. Some excellent videos out on the channel currently that you can go and watch. And we've got some other big stuff coming for you before the end of the month as well. Shall we get on with the first question, Peter Austin?
Yes, it's from Sarah Keys. Who says, the Activision Blizzard X Microsoft deal has finally gone through.
Oh, thank God.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
How do you feel about it finally being over? And when do you think that we'll start to see the effects of the merger?
Was it 16 months?
Yeah.
16 months.
It was well over a year
that we've been talking about this. Yeah. Bollocks.
Thank you, Sarah, for that bollocks question.
Thank you, Sarah.
Well, I'm just relieved that it's gone through. It's weird, isn't it? Because when this was first announced 16 months ago or however long it was and people were first talking about it, the gut reaction was like, oh, you know, companies getting bigger and absorbing other companies is generally a bad thing for the consumer because there's less competition and people aren't then playing off against each other, trying to undercut and do better deals for the consumer. So this can't be good, right? And then just the longer it's gone on, we've
got Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's it. Somehow they've won us over just by not letting this be quiet.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I'm certainly pleased that it's over. I'm glad that Bobby will have left soon.
Yeah.
So those are good things. Goodness knows when we'll start seeing the effects of the merger. The question is, you know, how much are Microsoft going to walk in there and like flip the table and like, you know, tear up old plans and start new ones? Or are they just basically going to say, look, whatever you were doing already, carry on. We'll, you know, sort of like manage it a bit, but like you just do what you were doing. And then going forward, when new projects are required, we'll all work together on that. Certainly some of the conversations that we've seen in interviews and like tweets and stuff that have been put out from higher ups at Microsoft, they have made noises as though they want to be relatively hands-off and just support some of the developers who work under Activision. And you know, I've seen people saying about, like, I think Vicarious Visions was it, who were like basically just moved on to Call of Duty support after having made some pretty good games in their own right. I think as an example, they've been kind of flagged as someone who might be able to start doing something again of their own, you know, their own design. So I hope that that happens. That would be nice to kind of free up a few of those talented studios again. But yeah, I think it'll be a while before we see the effects. But who's to say? Maybe maybe it's only a matter of days before some big announcement happens where they say, hey, you know, this game that's already been announced, it's cancelled. Or, hey, we're now announcing this sequel that you didn't think was ever coming, you know? We'll see.
I know you have a quote from Philip.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us about that first?
Or Phil.
I've got a couple of Phil Spencer quotes here. One is as it pertains to having access to all these franchises that are sort of essentially on ice currently and not being used as far as we're aware. Mm-hmm. I feel that we have to be a great custodian for the content that we touch. These are memories from people on different platforms, different decades. And I want to make sure that that when we're going back and visiting something, that we do it with our complete ability, a motivated team that wants to work on something and make a difference, not just create something for financial gain or create for a PR announcement and not deliver on the product. So I'm going to start with the teams and what are they passionate about? And that's why I'm excited to go on these studio visits and then we'll look at it. That was Phil. He also talked about when the games are coming to Game Pass, potentially, that looks like they're targeting 2024. This acquisition is definitely long-term, so the fact that we're not hitting day one with a bunch of games dropping into Game Pass is a little bit of a downer, but I'm very excited about the future, and I just want to be straight with people that that's where we are.
Okay.
I am curious about Microsoft's approach because we've heard that, like, how they were pretty hands-off with Arcane when it came to Redfall and how that turned out. And it was talked a bit about then about how, like, Phil took a lot of responsibility of them not really paying a lot of attention to what the studios were doing and how things were coming along. So maybe we will see them being a bit more hands-on than they have been in the past. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm happy that it's done. I'm still not entirely happy that it has happened. Mm-hmm. And like you say, there's still that like pit of your stomach feeling of like, is it really a good thing? Do we really think that this was positive for the entire gaming sphere? Which I don't know. We will have to wait and see whether it does affect things. But we're not going to see much, again, like I say, till 2024 earliest. And even then, I don't think we're going to see many like games coming out from Activision Blizzard that have been affected by Microsoft for a good few years. We'll see like games coming out that will have Microsoft's name attached, but whether they were already in place before they got there or not is a different story. I think hopefully we'll see some games hitting Game Pass, like say before 2024, maybe the odd thing, the odd like Call of Duty or
Reignited Trilogy
yeah, for example. Yeah. These things maybe will happen ahead of time. But I mean, I'm not in any rush to see all these Activision games hit Game Pass. I don't know if they all will or just some, but it would be interesting to see how they go about using this kind of new power that they have. Whether we'll see a lot more vintage Activision Blizzard stuff hitting the Game Pass ahead of new stuff, or if every single new Activision Blizzard game coming out is straight on Game Pass. So we'll have to see. But I'm happy it's over-ish. And we'll have to see what happens, I think.
Yes. Yes, we will. Much like you, I'm still not happy about the fact that it is happening.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good thing. It probably end up being good for Xbox players, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I am very glad it's over so that we don't have to deal with it anymore. But yeah, I am not sure when we're going to see the first game, because they've got this is an absurdly huge acquisition that the games industry has never seen before. So obviously it's going to take some time. You know, buying Bethesda was a huge deal, and then tying the two companies together has obviously taken some time. There have been some casualties from that, Redfall potentially being one of them. Mm-hmm. A company the size of Activision Blizzard King merging with a company the size of Microsoft is going to take a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You've already got a lot of functions within ABK, if you will, that are not necessary when they join Microsoft. You've got HR departments, you've got payroll, you've got legal teams, you've got all this sort of stuff that's going to have to be stripped away or consolidated. Some people let go, some people brought in. It's so complex, and that's just the corporate structure. And then when you get into the games themselves, who bloody knows? They've already got a massive stable of studios that, as was the case with Redfall, flags have been raised about their ability to even manage that. So how is it going to work here? I talked on a recent podcast about how they should lean on the expertise of the people within ABK, similar to how Sony has used Bungie to sort of see how they're getting on in their live service department to sort of help perhaps shepherd some of these projects that are going on for years and years and years into not necessarily an annual release schedule as with Call of Duty, but clearly they've got that stuff down. And hopefully it's not due to inhumane crunch hours, which it may well be, but they've clearly got people there who can shepherd these projects through in a timely manner and a structure in place. So hopefully they'll be able to use that. Unfortunately, this might not be the last we've heard of this, because the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, they are not going down without a fight. And while this deal has now officially closed, they are still intending to petition it. Let's see what it says here. This is from Reuters. I always forget Reuters? How to pronounce it.
I think I say Reuters, but I don't know.
I would say Reuters, but again, it's just a made up word.
It is a spoodle. It is. In the United States, the US Federal Trade Commission has also fought the deal. It was talking about Britain before. And has an argument scheduled before an appeals court on the 6th of December. The agency said on Friday that it remained focused on the appeal. Microsoft and Activision's new agreement with Ubisoft presents a whole new facet to the merger that will affect American consumers, which the FTC will assess as part of its ongoing administrative proceeding, added spokeswoman Victoria Graham. The FTC continues to believe this deal is a threat to competition.
Mm-hmm. This was about the Ubisoft edition, wasn't it? That
yeah,
was
but
why
they were still trying to fight it, weren't they? Even before this.
Well, they were before, but this because they did this, they've gone on to investigate Ubisoft being a part of this because they're not really sure what that is about. Like how we were confused, like who is benefiting from this?
Yeah.
How are they ever going to have enough power to overthrow whether what Microsoft want to do? So yeah, it's kind of weird, this Ubisoft thing that I feel like has already been forgotten about by, you know, us. I kind of forgot about this weird Ubisoft third party
stuff. When the deal went through, they said, like, oh, well, we now, you know, there'll be streaming stuff happening and, you know. But
there was an article on their website that clarified nothing to me at all.
Yeah.
Like, it was a Q&A and they asked the question, like, what does this mean? And they went, I still don't understand.
I'm lost to Ubisoft, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we'll start to see some stuff next year, see what happens.
Possibly. It's also $69 billion.
So
how are they going to make
money.
Their money back?
Yeah.
They can just put it on Game Pass and hope they attract everyone to Game Pass. Mm. But there's a lot of PS5s out there. If they want to start seeing this money return, they need to just probably, I would assume, continue to sell these games as they are on all platforms, at least for a while. But I don't know. You know, they've got trillions and quazillions of dollars. So
how are they ever going to make $69 billion back?
I don't know.
No idea. Even with a company as big as Activision.
But I don't even, don't think I could name that many of their franchises that make loads and loads and loads of money.
No. Guitar Hero was, I think, the first series to pass $1 billion, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, Bobby wants it back, and so does James Corden.
Yeah,
so.
James Corden really wants it back.
So maybe we see some Guitar Hero again, but I think we're past the age of plastic tats, so they're going to have to come up with something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would you?
I think people would still like
a
little bit of plastic
tat. Plastic guitar? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If VR tracking gets down to like really responsive finger movements, you could just air guitar it. But
at the moment,
you would not be able to. Well, some of the very top end tech can track that kind of stuff.
Make it like Jackbox. Use your smartphone. I don't know. It's not. As visceral, is it?
Just like tingling on your phone.
It's not nearly as fun.
No.
Who knows? We. It will. It remains to be seen.
It does. The one other thing is, like, it's so interesting. If you imagine like a supermarket acquisition or something, like Sainsbury's buy Asda or whatever.
Mm.
In fact, I think they are owned by the same company. But anyway, at least with that, the product and the kind of the day-to-day running of that company is like probably within a week or two, any given supermarket has like restocked everything and is selling it and restocked and selling it. Whereas when you're buying game studios, you're talking about a product that takes maybe 5 years to put together.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars going into it, then you're releasing it. So it's not like if you buy a supermarket, you can go in and like, within a few weeks or months, you can probably make changes that are quite easy to implement.
Mm.
But when you've got these, when you're coming in to an acquisition and there's like, they're like 2.5 years into the next whatever, Spyro game, for example, what do you do with that if you do have opinions on that? Do you say, I don't think this is a good idea, and do you cancel it? Or do you say, do you just think, oh, well, there's too much money in that now already, we better just let it go? Like, there are some big decisions to be made, and because the products are so big and have such a long time span to be put together, it must be a difficult thing to walk into that and just see all this work in progress and wonder what to do with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
He's not going to walk in and go, right, everyone's making Spyro games now.
No. Yeah.
Or
he might.
Maybe he will.
Yeah. Next year we'll be like 7 Spyro games.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Well, I would love to play a Spyro game. If only there was a section where I could talk about, you know, the things that I've been playing.
Oh, boy. Aren't you lucky? I've come up with it brand new this week.
Brand new?
What? Yeah. It's called What We Playing.
Oh. It's What We Playing time. Time to talk about the games what we have been playing. Peter.
Yes.
What have you been playing?
I've not actually played very much at all, partly because we're one day less on recording. And on top of that, I have had my mother-in-law staying at my house.
How exciting.
Which, you know, according to stereotypes is... mother-in-law's at home.
Have you had a terrible time?
I might stay at the office until 9 p.m. and go home when it's bedtime. No, I've not had a terrible time. I've had a very nice time.
Good.
But she's not the gaming type. She's not really a bossaroo. Although I did play a bit of, since the last podcast, I played a little bit of Blood Dragon. We had one attempt at playing Jackbox. I only have like two party packs. So we just did party pack one and we were doing some drawful and stuff. And it was fun. Like, it wasn't like we're all sitting around not having a good time, but it's not, I don't think it entered into regular evening entertainment. So instead, we've been just kind of going out for food and watching TV and stuff and just chit-chatting and things like that. So not done a lot. Bit of Jackbox, and that's kind of it. So when you said earlier in the podcast, have you been playing games? I thought, no, not really. but that's me. By the time this goes out, I probably will have played Spider-Man, but we'll talk about that next week.
Yes.
Well, do you know what, Peter?
Yeah.
When Ben asked me as well, yeah, I struggled because I haven't played a single thing this week.
Oh my God. Are you guys hedgy-wedgies or what?
Yeah. I think this is the first time that we've recorded a podcast where I've not played anything. But since the last podcast, it's just really not been something I wanted to do. I've been very hormonal this week, and everything I've thought about playing, I've been like, no, I don't want to, it's just gonna annoy me, I can't do this right now. So all I've done is watch Grey's Anatomy every single night this week, just mad Grey's Anatomy. I've watched like two seasons.
And how many episodes are there in a season?
Like 20.
And how long are those episodes?
Like 45 minutes.
Oh my God, Ashton, that's so
like
much television.
That's all I've done. And I was away this weekend visiting my parents for my mother's birthday, so it was very family weekend this weekend. Not played nothing.
What would have been better is if you'd come over to my house and you three watch Grey's Anatomy.
You could have gone and played some games. True.
God, you could have done.
Next time.
Well, don't worry guys, because I found time to play games.
You played three persons worth of games.
I've only played
two
games. One of them was Blair Witch, which I played as on a charity stream on Friday when I got utterly wonkered, as they say.
William wonkered,
and I can't remember a single thing about that game.
I played that game, like, it must have been about 3 years ago now, around Halloween.
Yeah.
And I remember getting to a point and being absolutely baffled by what I was supposed to do.
Right.
And I think I also was drinking at the time. And I think I also got pretty wonkered that I also couldn't figure out what's happening.
The only way to play that game.
Yeah.
It's a Bloober team game.
It's quite spooky at the beginning.
I can't remember. I just remember that you can customize the dog. Which
yeah,
is
you can customize
it's
the
all
dog.
It's all recorded. Hours worth of
it is.
You can watch it back.
Genuinely thought, should I even put this on the internet? And then I thought, you know what? I think I was well behaved. I was just immediately sick after the stream.
Oh my god.
I didn't have any food. And I was drinking out of... You remember when we went to go and see... what was it called? Not The Disaster. The Room.
The Room, yeah.
And they had
those
2-pint
mega
plastic cups. Yeah, I kept them. And so I was drinking alcohol out of the mega cups, but not like beer. Vodka.
Yeah.
It did not end very well for me. Saturday was a complete write-off. And then Sunday I was helping to level the patio in the garden, and also sawing up some horrendous pallet furniture that was left by the previous owners of the house so that I could use it as firewood.
I couldn't think of doing anything worse the hungover than putting the patio down.
Unfortunately,
it was
on Sunday,
after.
So I had a
break.
Yeah, I felt like a new man on Sunday. Saturday, though, I was like on another planet. I wasn't hungover, but you know when you're just, your brain is like, it's sick, and you're just like, I shouldn't be allowed to drive. Mm-hmm. I went to B&M Home Bargains.
Mm.
Is that two shops?
Two different
shops.
I went to B&M Bargains.
Right.
And I was floating through that shop. And there, it was so bright.
It's out of body experience.
There's so many people there. I spent like 45 minutes in the toy aisle just looking at Spider-Man. Like, that's great. I would love one of those. And then bought like a toilet brush or something and left.
Yeah.
It was a great day. Anyway, besides...
To go clean the sink.
Yeah.
Beside that, I did finish Assassin's Creed Mirage. And that was like the focus of the weekend, was just to get through that game.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got a text message immediately after Ben had finished it.
Yeah. I was like, hang on, what is this ending?
Because of the crazy ending.
Yeah.
This is... ball hips.
I had to get Fraser to explain it to me because Kieran finished it as well, like a few days after I did, and he must have been talking to Fraser about it before I came in. And I was like, what happened? What was it all about? And apparently, if you hadn't watched, if you haven't played Valhalla all the way to the end, you weren't going to figure, you weren't going to know what was going on.
Even if you did, because I finished Valhalla and I was baffled.
Oh,
by
you
the
were baffled too. Well, Fraser had to send me a message to tell me everything that what was happening because I had no idea.
You sent me that message, and I was like, this still doesn't. Yeah. This is so. I watched a condescending man on YouTube explain it to me, and I was like, okay, I see what they were going for, but also stop it.
Yeah.
Stop this, please. This is stupid now. How is anyone who isn't like, who hasn't got a degree or a doctorate in Assassin's Creed BS going to understand what's going on? It could have just been
baffled.
A nice story that ended, you know, about Basim, the assassin from Baghdad, but no. It had to go weird, didn't it?
My personal favourite moment was this, like, real GCSE drama moment where, like, they were facing each other and they were, like, doing the movements at the same time. Yes. And I was like,
was
come on, GCSE drama, let's
A star for that.
Did you like the game, though?
I liked the game for the most part. It definitely feels like... I did see this reflected in a number of reviews, and I completely agree, which is that it's a return to its roots, but like warts and all.
Mm.
So tailing missions, stop that.
I hate them.
It's 2023. Why am I having to follow someone really slowly and then hide in a bush while they, for some reason, turn around and stare behind them for 15 seconds and then carry on their way? And then if you get caught, you have to do it all again. And they did that as like one of the final missions. And I was like, are you joking?
But you have to, if you fail it, then you have to go back to a bench, wait till the next day and then do it again.
This guy doesn't remember you.
No.
For some reason. Right, it's the same guy. Yeah. He doesn't remember you the next day.
You're sat on the bench at his workplace, as you have been for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And
I really tried to be a stealthy assassin, right? I really tried, and it might be user error. It possibly is. But like, I would sneak my way into this base, and then someone would spot me, and then everyone would come after me. I would like brutally murder 15 men and then hide in a bush. And they go, guess he's not here. We shouldn't raise an alarm or warn the guy that we're protecting, though. So that's fine. Yeah. So like, there's a lot of like tonal dissonance where it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
The stealth was actually really hard in that game. Like a lot of the time, I was getting caught, and I was like, "I'm on the roof. What do you mean you can see me?"
And then you go out of their line of sight, and they're like, "I know where you are." It's like, "How do you know where I am?"
Yeah, I found a lot of the times I was getting caught, but. Yeah.
It got easier the more tools I unlocked. Yeah. So you get like a blow dart that you can put sleeping stuff in. It's like this is a ranged weapon is really useful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that actually makes a big difference. But you don't get a lot of that stuff until later on.
Yeah.
The traversing again still I found quite annoying, especially when I was trying to be sneaky. Like I'm trying to, you get caught on a ledge or something, or I'm trying to vault over something and he just sort of stands on it. And it's like, get down. And he's not. And like the sort of the we're aware of you meter is getting bigger. I'm like, get down. What are you doing? And he's just sort of pivoting around like, please get off the sandbags and hide in the bush. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I think if it was longer, I my patience would have really been tested.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I enjoyed it. I thought it was as someone who wouldn't necessarily describe themselves as an Assassin's Creed fan, I thought it was largely forgettable. Didn't really care for what was going on. I suppose that's the nature of prequels because you already know ultimately what the outcome is going to be. But it was a return to form, as I said, warts and all. But I do think there's some stuff in there that's really really good and. Fans of Assassin's Creed will probably really like it.
Ass heads.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the thing about it that like is annoying, because we talked about this the other day, is that like if you've not played Valhalla, which is a massive game all the way through, then the end of Mirage makes no sense. And then like even if you have played it, it still doesn't make that much sense. And you think like if you were to kind of rejoin the Assassin's Creed franchise in the next game. Like I was like, I didn't play Valhalla, but this one seems smaller. Why would I need to finish big game that comes afterwards? Surely it won't be that confusing. I know where he ends up. And it's like, well, I'm lost and I've got to have this very in-depth knowledge of the lore of a previous game to understand it, which I don't feel like it's ever relied that much on before. There's been like the future stuff has sometimes been like, you're here now because this happened in the other game or this is happening in the future. But like, it's never really felt that important in the grand scheme of things.
It's a shame because, like, in a sense, it's such a golden kind of style or template where they can go to any period of history anywhere in the world and just tell an interesting story. Mm-hmm. And all right, they have to somehow try and tie it to the assassin idea. But I mean, even if they like went a bit wild and said like, all right, we know it's called Assassin's Creed, but the next one's just about like, you know, a warrior or whatever. They could probably
or a Viking.
Get that. Or a Viking. Yeah, well, Valhalla, a Viking.
Valhalla who, didn't have you play as an assassin.
Who met some assassins.
And then put the blade on the back of his hand. And then like the what's it called? The underling assassin was like, he can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. So like that's my point. Like if they could go anywhere in history and even just loosely tie it into the assassin's theme. And that could be it. And it could just be a really interesting game. You never know where they're going to go next in the sequel. But then they just have to sort of bog it down with, like, you know, the Templar story and, like, sometimes the future stuff. Mm. Not this time.
I miss Desmond.
Yeah.
I miss Desmond.
Why was his dad at the beginning of this one?
Do you not?
No. I mean,
I was interested in his.
That's the thing.
In his story, that was the only time the future stuff was remotely intriguing.
I did like it. I'm not saying like, oh, that was rubbish, and I'm glad he's not around. But I'm just saying like, I think they could just make a simple series of games where it's just history simulator, and you just go to different time periods and do interesting things, and maybe occasionally it ties into the Assassin's guild thing. But yeah, I think it's kind of amazing, really, that they can continue to have people finish their games and go, what's going on?
Ashton, do you want to read question two?
Yeah, we're like,
sorry,
in this discussion.
Josh Lees asks, g'day Bap, given that the generally favorable reviews AC Mirage is getting for its return to the series classic gameplay, do you think we'll see more of this, and what series could benefit from doing so? Cheers, Josh Lees.
Thank you, Josh. Yeah, we're basically already talking about this, haven't we? Yeah. We've hopped right in. To be clear, it seems to have sold well, but they're being really vague about what they're saying. They said, Assassin's Creed Mirage is Ubisoft's biggest launch in terms of sales when considering solely PS5 and Xbox Series X/S. Now,
there's a lot of caveats.
You can try and decipher that, but it seems they're really happy with how it sold. Mm. And that's great. I have heard from some Assassin's Creed fans that they are not happy at all about it being smaller. That they feel that £50 game, which is not a £70 game, that they expect a lot more bang for their buck, a lot more duration, because that's the standard they've set over the past couple of games.
Yeah,
I guess, I mean, it's different really, isn't it? Given that the last few games have been so big and open world, and the kind of the way that Ubisoft have been getting their big worlds in every single franchise that they've got. Yeah. But I don't think it's a bad thing that it's smaller. I think that, you know, it's sold as a prequel game and that's what it is. And it's kind of a glorified DLC if you read the comments on it too much. But I think that, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal that it's smaller. It's still over 20 hours of gameplay, which is a decent amount of time. And I mean, I'm fine with it being smaller.
And presumably they can, you know, turn them around quicker going forward if they continue to do games of that size, which they might not. They might, you know, this might have been a little just a, oh, let's do a smaller one before we go back to bigger ones. But you know, as you were saying, Ben, about Activision and Microsoft, perhaps turning games around a little bit quicker if they use that expertise, I'd be up for Ubisoft doing the same thing personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, as you guys were saying, I would love to visit as many interesting time periods as possible. And if we're looking at several multi-year waits before going to, admit it, you mean you cannot fault Ubisoft's open worlds in terms of their historical intrigue. Like these places they create are unbelievable. Mirage was fascinating to be in, you know, and experience, and that is something that they always absolutely knock out of the park. But I want to see more, and I want to see them not necessarily more regularly, but maybe more regularly. But, you know, the interest in the series may only dwindle the longer it takes for them to get these games out. But, you know, the bigger the time between these games, games are getting more and more complicated. Obviously, these things take a lot of time to put together. But I really do think there's something to be said for making smaller experiences like this. It's just trying to maybe get Assassin's Creed fans on board, Assassin's Creed fans who were fans of the bigger games, and saying, hey, so we're just going to make 20-hour games from now, and we would like £70 from you, please, when they have been conditioned over several years and several games to expect these just enormous games.
Yeah.
And that's going to be tough. I would assume that they're going to go back to doing massive ones and then these smaller ones every so often. But yeah, in terms of what they could change, I think the future stuff needs to stop.
Mm.
The future stuff has to stop.
I mean, Assassin's Creed 2 was quite big in terms of like lengthwise. Like it had like four different maps that were, they weren't as big as Baghdad, but they were still like of a decent size. And I do think that maybe, I mean, this one is obviously one of the smaller ones that they've made, and I'm fine with that. But it does definitely feel like the shorter one, even going back further than the most recent kind of ginormous ones.
Yeah.
But like I say, it's not always a bad thing. And I think if the story had been more interesting, and if if the story had been more interesting, I think it would have been fine that it's a bit shorter. But I think that they kind of just wasn't as deep as some of the other stuff that you got going on in the other games. So that was a big shame. But I would like to see them kind of carry on, like you say, with these smaller things. Mm. And the future stuff. But it's not even just the future stuff. It's past stuff as well.
Right.
Like this game didn't, there was no point where you went into the future. There was no secondary character that you kind of flash forward to. Like in Valhalla, how you found those weird glitches and you played as girl.
Yeah, whatever her name was.
Layla, was that her name?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
For like brief moments. There's none of that. It's literally just all in Baghdad. And then there's just references to the past stuff that has been referenced throughout the series. So I don't even know if you need the future stuff anymore. I thought the world ended in the last game. Like that's what I thought happened, having not finished it.
Mm.
That was the vibe I was given at the beginning of the last game. Like the sun is exploding, the world is going to end. So in my mind, it's done. However, apparently Basim's going to be the new future character, like who's getting in Animus and remembering stuff. It's all very strange. Again, doesn't make any sense. So I don't really need any sci-fi rubbish.
You get the impression that they sort of know that because they've definitely, it feels like there's been less and less of it.
Even
in Valhalla, it was like, oh, we really want to just, here's a bit of future, just okay, now we'll go back to the game, don't worry, we'll go back to the game.
Please come and hang out at our cabin.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Look, Eivor's here, he's dead, but he's here.
Yeah.
Or she's here.
Mm.
And, you know, they would just like give you what little they could get away with forcing upon you.
Yeah.
And then in this one, there's nothing at all. So is that a trend they'll continue to follow or not?
Maybe. I mean, they're leaning more and more into their own mythology, which is the confusing. Right, so this man on YouTube, when I was looking it up. Right,
oh, yeah, the condescending
man. I'm not going to spoil the ending of Mirage, just to be perfectly clear. But like, essentially, there was a lot of stuff in Valhalla that took place in like actual Norse mythology. Like,
yeah.
There were those, that was the essentially the future stuff that you could do, like the optional bit. And Eivor was Odin, and Basim was Loki, and various characters from Valhalla had versions of themselves playing these gods. And apparently, you know, there's like that forerunner race that they keep bumping into, like the old ones.
Yeah.
Those are the inspiration for all of humanity's mythologies.
Right.
And so they're represented in various forms, and it all ties in kind of confusing ways. So Eivor is actually Odin reborn, but not Odin, the old forerunner thing
who
that was interpreted as Odin by the ancient Norse or something.
Yeah.
It's like, this is interesting, but my dudes, your games are so big that most players never see this stuff and don't understand it. And you cannot rely too heavily on that because you are losing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your games are really good. I just wish they were a bit more focused.
How can they be? It just baffles me that they can be that company, or that, you know, that the series can be that series, but it can also be the series that is used in schools to teach about Viking history and has like a model of Notre Dame that was considered, it might have been useful for the reconstruction. I think in the end they used some like laser photometry stuff instead. Mm. But yeah, they were like, oh, maybe we could use the Assassin's Creed model of Notre Dame Cathedral.
Yeah.
That would be really handy. Those two things, like, you could just go with the really cool history simulator thing and have a really good series. But
there doesn't need to be an overriding.
No.
At the end of the day, unless it's a direct sequel, like, you know, or you've got an alternative character like Desmond Miles who goes between a few different games.
Yeah, that could work.
They don't have to be connected at all. We know that the Assassins and the Templars have been around forever.
Well, Layla was in a few of them because I think she was in Origins as well. And then, I don't know, I didn't play Odyssey or Black Flag, but I think she was definitely in Origins and she was in Valhalla. So she's obviously like part of the gang in terms of like she's been in a few, but it's never been established. Well, for the average gamer who picks up and puts down an Assassin's Creed game, depending on the area, like it's never really that clear. With Desmond, at the beginning of the games, you were established like he is in the Animus. The reason he's here is because he's in this thing and it's his ancestor.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you have like, she's just can go in anyone. Because she can. That's why she's in a Viking and was also in a guy from Egypt. And that's just how it is. She's going to have to accept
it. Right.
So I do think that like they've kind of... They've finished their narrative and then we're like, how do we carry this on?
Mm.
This stuff's also going on at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit strange. And I do think it's fine to have an assassin's like narrative that continues through history of like the assassins were first in Egypt and then they were in the Middle East and then they moved to Europe. Like it makes sense to have this narrative of like what happened to the Assassin's Order, and there's always going to be Templars. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be this other order that's fighting them in the shadows at all times. But I just don't, like you say, it doesn't need the future stuff anymore. We've kind of moved past that. We know what the format of an Assassin's Creed game is, the assassins and the bad guys, and you're trying to bring freedom to whatever area you're in. It just, that's what we know, it happens.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see more of what they've done with this. Hopefully less future / past / sci-fi bollocks, maybe, fingers crossed.
I really like Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. I obviously have taken a big break from the games and we've been very critical on this podcast just because they're so huge and they don't need to be this huge. But I genuinely do think that this is the last hurdle to them finding like an optimal middle ground is shedding some of this stuff or just making it a bit easier to understand.
Yeah.
In Assassin's Creed 2, I was fascinated by this sort of like weird thing that it was teasing that like the Pope was hiding or something. It's like, what is this? This is like playing into some Dan Brown stuff. Yeah, I'm really interested. And it sort of exploded into this convoluted, admittedly, some people do understand it, but I know for a fact that I am not the only person who finished Assassin's Creed Mirage and went, what?
Well, there's another one right here.
Yeah, me as well.
And I looked at the comments under the video that I watched of the man who told me what was going on. And everyone was like, shame they ended it that way because I didn't have a bloody clue what was going on.
Yeah.
It doesn't need it. And their next game is rumored to be that one that's set during the witch trials or something.
Yeah, Hexen. Haven't they got... Project Hex.
Because they've got the other one that's set in feudal... Is it China or Japan?
Jade is the Red, one. Is it called or something? I think there's feudal Japan, medieval China, and Salem witch trials.
All sound great.
Yeah.
All of them just need the central sort of plot thrust, which is assassins are in the shadows, you get brought in as an assassin after Templar Big Bad, who's in a position of power, does something terrible to you. He's got a MacGuffin that he's chasing. Mm-hmm. You need to stop him.
Yeah.
And yes, it could get tiring doing the same thing over and over again, but like that's kind of all you'd need.
But you add variety in the location and the storyline. Like, whenever you play an Assassin's Creed game, you know how it's going to play. Like, things haven't changed from the very beginning, but you're interested in the area and the story and the character more than you are, like, potentially the gameplay. So, like, people come back to Call of Duty all the time. It's the same gameplay, but it's interesting because you're in a different time period.
You're shooting different people.
Yeah, you're shooting a different bad person. So, yeah. Yeah. Any series that you think would benefit from
Josh's
going back
other
to
question,
the
wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I do have an answer for this, and it kind of ties into our thoughts about Assassin's Creed as well. But given what you've just said about, at least you maintain interest by killing different people in different games, I can kind of see why the Halo series has gone the way that it's gone. Personally, I dropped off after Halo 4 because they introduced new people to shoot at. The Forerunners and the Didact, what were they called? The Prometheans, I think they were called. It was like a whole new faction. And I was like, I don't know. I preferred it when it was just, I am Master Chief, and here is a like a conglomerate of alien species who just, they just want to like invade the Earth and take over the galaxy, essentially. And also there are these like weapons in space that they might be using. I thought that was interesting, and I thought it was presented really well, and it was a lot of fun to play. And then they introduced all this like bollocks, and there weren't that many other human characters around because Chief was like lost in space. And there are now humans back again, but they've still got all these Prometheans in there, and it's just got overcomplicated again because they, that also has like this, you know, this whole bunch of Forerunner, you know, kind of the species of who came before the humans and strange mythic history, and it's just like, I just wanna fight like the little ones and the big ones, you know, the grunts and the elites. I want to hit them. And that's why I dropped off it. And I know the most recent one was like intentionally trying to recapture some of the kind of original trilogy. And so perhaps they are going back towards their roots. But to me, it still felt like, I didn't like the fact that you were just off on this like lost floating construct in space. Like I want to be on Earth with a bunch of Marines and some alien invaders, you know, just something a bit more, a bit less high concept, personally.
Yeah.
Much the same with things getting overcomplicated. I would like the Borderlands series to tone it back a bit. Obviously, Borderlands 2 is like the elite example of what a Borderlands game is. However, I do think I really enjoyed the simplicity of the first Borderlands in that you four are hunting to get to the vault first because you want the goodies that are inside. And then you encounter various things along your way. Other enemies that want to get the vault and like the big bads, the kind of the various people that you encounter was always the most interesting thing. And I didn't hate that we were traveling to different planets in Borderlands 3. I just think everything got very overcomplicated. There was, you know, all these vaults, all these things that were happening, and it's like, I don't really understand why we had to add all this stuff in. And that, like, I think lost a lot of people. And aside from like people getting unnecessarily angry at a child in the game, which I still, to this day, do not understand. I just think it would be nice to kind of go back to its roots. I don't know if we'll get another Borderlands. I'm not sure if they'll make another one. I mean, it's their best-selling franchise, but I almost don't see them making another one. I don't know why. It just doesn't seem like the sensible thing to do.
I wonder what they'd do if they stopped.
Well, exactly.
You know?
Well, I wonder what they'd do if they stopped, but also I wonder what they'd do for a fourth game.
Yeah.
Because they, like, basically were like, done now. It's done. You've been to loads of planets. There's no more vaults.
Everyone's favorite character, Lilith, has finally completed her arc.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, in both of those examples, in Borderlands and Halo, probably the reason they're not still, they haven't just been doing it like from the style, from their roots, from then until now, is because they reach a point where they're like, we need to mix this up. You know, we want to keep hold of people. We need to start doing some crazy stuff. And they start doing the crazy stuff, and then you reach this point years later and it's me and you saying, I wish it was like the first one.
Yeah.
And would we actually be saying that if that's all it had ever been? Or would we be saying, it's a bit stale now, isn't it? It's just Chief fighting the Covenant, or it's just going to a vault all the time.
I mean, I don't think that they could have done the same, like another vault on Pandora
for the third one.
But I do think that they kind of, they lost the simple charm of the first two games.
I agree.
But yeah, you might be right. We might have been like,
ways to retain that, I think, without overcomplicating.
Yeah, exactly.
We need a compelling bad guy. That's a problem that they have. They have a bad guy problem in Borderlands.
I didn't hate the bad guys.
Like Borderlands 3?
Yeah, I didn't think they were bad. I mean, they obviously weren't as good as Handsome Jack, but I really didn't think they were as bad as everyone was making them out.
Maybe they weren't, but I just, I didn't care.
No.
I just didn't care. Follow, I suppose.
It's so hard. Yeah, really hard. I mean, you guys have both given really good suggestions there, and I'm really struggling to think of one. Honestly, I think if we weren't already talking about Assassin's Creed, it probably would have been Assassin's Creed. As a series that I think has ballooned in size, and the quality is still there. That there can be no doubt. It's just that it was too much game for me, and this was the right amount of game for me. But there's obviously places where they can improve upon the formula. I'm very excited to see what they do next. The idea of a Witch Trials setting for a game is fascinating to me. Like I would, play that one. I would love to see that. Like,
I want to play as I go. Mm-hmm. Please, let not have to choose between boy or girl. Please, just let give me girl character. Please. Every
you don't
time
want to you want just
I
you
want just want them character. To be like the character is our woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me that, please.
I mean, that would be really cool for the witch trials.
Yeah, exactly. How sick would that be? So sick is the answer to my own question.
One was killed as well for being during the witch trials.
Yeah, I bet it'll be him, won't it?
It'll be that guy.
Hate that guy.
Maybe they know, unfortunately, that if it was only you were only able to play as a girl, that some of the stinky
don't care
slash Assassin's Creed boys
be stinky, be sad. Don't care.
I mean, I agree. I'm with you, but
be stinky, be sad. I mean, I'm really interested to hear what actual Assassin's Creed fans who are obsessed with the story and have played all the recent ones think about the new one, and whether you're outraged about how short it is for the price, and what you think of the future stuff and where they can go next. Let us know in the comments below, of course. It's time, though, to get a little bit strange up in
here. It was a big discussion, that, wasn't it?
Was.
It really was. I had a great time talking about Assassin's Creed.
Me too.
A little bit peculiar.
And up to date and current. It's time for...
Weird News.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's weird news time. Time to talk about some weird video game news. Remember, you can submit weird video game news to us by responding to the post that goes out on Facebook and Twitter.
Tuesday.
Usually on a Tuesday, but the post didn't go out, unfortunately. It was scheduled and it didn't go out. That's our bad. So we've sourced our own weird news. However, if you'd like to guarantee it, what's up?
My phone buzzed. Sorry. No, sorry. The phone buzzed.
And it was right next to a microphone. I think maybe.
Might have heard it. It was just Alex asking if we ever wanted to go to Tesco for lunch. So
Tesco for lunch?
No, I don't need to, but that's what it was.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
I want to go to Tesco for lunch.
Well, you're not allowed.
No.
You've got to do your homework first.
Mm-hmm. He's going at 20 to 12. What's he doing?
Students.
He's a madman. What was I saying?
Something
about there's no
didn't
weird games if you want to news post.
If you want to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at the appropriate tier, and become a podcast producer just like
G.Y. Goliath,
Nicole Hansen,
Duncan Wilson,
Katie Garrett, Jared,
Eric Siu,
Potato Shack 99,
Neurodivergers,
Melody L. Bonet,
Nexus Polaris,
Gabrielle Philippink,
Blake Thomas,
Janet Wicks,
and Great Giggity.
Thank you, podcast producers.
And welcome, Neurodivergers. I haven't seen your name before.
No, it is a new name.
Well, I think I've seen the name before, but not in the podcast producers.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for your support. Peter, do you have some weird news?
I do. This was sent to us by @thatPeterAustin on Twitter.
Oh.
It's NintendoLife.com.
Random!
Random. One new Wii U was apparently sold in the US last month.
Oh.
Who said the system was dead?
Nintendo did.
Yeah, written by Liam Doolan. There was reportedly one new Wii U sold in the US last month, and it was the first time a new Wii U has been sold in this location since May 2022.
Wow.
Over a year ago.
Where was it?
Well, this sales data comes from Circana, formerly the NPD Group, via industry analyst Matt Piscatella. What does it mean exactly? Not much, but it is admittedly a surprise that there's still some new stock floating about. When asked about the sale, Piscatella elaborated on how Circana acquires and processes individual stores. God, I'm falling asleep. according to Nintendo's official sales data, the Wii U sold just over 13 million units in its lifetime. Earlier this month, the company announced it would be ending online play for this generation of hardware in early April 2024. So perhaps this played a part in the latest sale. It doesn't say, though, where exactly it was sold, just in the US.
Oh.
Oh.
So someone bought one. Well, it could have been at a mom and pop shop, or maybe it was at a big budget. Big budget? What's it called? Big. What are the big retailers called? Big box. Big box store.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
what they're called. Walmart, right? Big box store.
Is that what they're called? I don't know.
Americans? Hello?
Chain?
Big box? Big box?
Big box?
Big box?
B&M Bargains.
New Wii U in big box?
That was weird. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. You're welcome. My own hair is bothering me. I have some weird news. It comes from PC Gamer by Harvey Randall. Van Gogh Museum forced to stop distributing special Pikachu cards after scalpers storm the gates.
Oh,
and then in quotes, we take the safety and security of visitors and staff very seriously.
What is wrong with Pokemon fans?
The Pokemon company would instead be selling the cards online.
Stormed the gate.
Yeah. Because people are horrible and bad.
It's for children.
Yes. Late last month, the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam opened a special exhibit in partnership with Pokemon, celebrating its 50th anniversary. And in a move that was a little unwise in hindsight, also offered a limited edition Pikachu card in the style of Gogh's piece, self-portrait with grey felt hat. The intent was to make fun, family-friendly event for children and Pokemon fans alike, exposing them to... Do you know how I'd say children and Pokemon fans alike?
They're
not the same. Exposing them to art history with a marketable carrot on a stick. Unfortunately, the same carrot drew out scalpers from their hives to make a quick buck. Would-be collectors swarmed the museum, jostling for a chance to pawn the thing on eBay. The fan response was overall appalled, but not surprised. Joe Merrick of fan website Cerebi aptly commented that the storm was why can't we have nice things? What?
Yeah, I don't know that, but
okay.
Yeah.
Twitch streamer Dash Hound Wizard later wrote that the event was a disaster, serving as a stark reminder of human greed and lust.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Profound.
Yeah. Now, as spotted by VGC, the museum has officially called curtains on the promotion altogether. A statement on the site's FAQs reads, "The Van Gogh Museum and the Pokemon Company International take the safety and security of visitors and staff very seriously. Recently, a small group of individuals has created an undesirable situation that has led us to take the difficult decision to remove the Pikachu with grey felt hat promo card from the museum. In this way, visitors will be able to experience this special collection of Pokemon paintings and the rest of the museum in a safe and enjoyable manner."
Want to know how much they're going for on eBay?
Yep. But,
oh, yeah.
At the low end, you've got £63. And if I sort it by highest, because I think some people have put it in that, you know, prison, the plastic prison.
Yeah, which is just makes no sense. Yeah. The plastic prison.
£7,000!
£7,000.
No, that's a bundle of eight.
Oh.
Oh, so that's a bargain, is it?
Idiot.
£1,500 for 10 of them. So people have literally gone in and just... 15
if you buy this
for £1,500,
if you buy that, you're
over
stupid.
Over
you're yeah. stupid if you buy that.
10 for 1,000.
And I hate you.
8 for 1,000.
Do you want to know how much they just cost to buy?
Go on.
$30.
Oh, you idiots.
Ridiculous.
The company later announced that the card will be available for purchase online via the Pokemon Center site, as long as you spend over $30 on Pokemon products, of course.
Okay.
You
get that wiggly tough toy or whatever it is, the one that looks like a... Wilson.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
One can use their best judgment on whether there is an attempt to make more money off a depressing fiasco or a necessary buy-in to stem the tide of people who thought gate-crashing an event for children, fans, and families was appropriate. Either way, it'd be interesting to see whether this calms the ongoing eBay flogging. At the time of writing, the car's value seems to have stabilized at $190. Getting the card and $30 worth of Pokemon merchandise is definitely the better deal, but I fear stocks will just vanish due to opportunist with the deep pockets, and we'll just be back to square one again.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Yeah. And then they've said that they are sorry for the poor staff who had to put up with this nonsense.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you can still go to the event, which is running through till January. So if you are in Amsterdam and fancy looking at some Pokemans, you can do that until January.
Stop it, everyone.
Nice.
You did this with the Happy Meals, and now you ruined art as well.
Do you remember when people did this about Rick and Morty's Szechuan sauce?
Yes, yeah. Regrettably.
I literally hate people.
Yeah.
And not to generalize, but they're nearly always men.
Oh, yeah.
You need to calm down, all right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get a life. Go outside.
Stop it, everyone.
Please.
Behave yourselves. It's not
Thank
hard.
Thank you.
I've got some weird news submitted by me. Mm-hmm. This is also PC Gamer by Andy Chalk.
Oh, I didn't tell who submitted mine. It was me.
Oh, was it?
You? Yeah, at Scramble Dash on Twitter if you wanted to follow me.
Is Andy Chalk related to Charlie, do you think?
I can only assume Andy has been putting up with such jokes for his entire adult life.
Who's Charlie Chalk?
Ashton, no. League of Legends has a boy band now. A group of dynamic daredevils dedicated to unapologetic individuality and creative expression.
More buzzwords, please.
Wow, Scroogles.
Here we go. The first single from Heartsteel called Paranoia will drop next week.
They have a girl band, don't they?
Yes.
It's quite
5 years after turning four of its characters.
What's that?
That's Charlie Chalk.
That's Charlie Chalk.
What's he from?
Charlie Chalk.
Charlie Chalk. That's what it was called.
I've never seen that before in my life.
Charlie Chalk Wiki.
Oh, I bet they've got some great articles on there. 5 years after turning four of its characters into pretend K-pop group, League of Legends has a boy band now. The six-man group is called Heartsteel, and it features reimagined versions of the LOL characters Ezreal, Kane, Aphelios, Yone, Cassanti, and Set. Heartsteel, this is a quote now. Heartsteel is a group of dynamic daredevils dedicated to unapologetic individuality and creative expression, Riot said in a press release so over the top I can't help but quote it directly. Their mission is to blaze a path to success on their own terms. The group's personality and sound draws inspiration from modern music collectives and a range of influences from across genres and eras, culminating in a bold, one-of-a-kind identity.
Oh, I feel sick just from that sentence.
I respect the commitment to the bit, which is strong enough that each member, none of whom actually exist, remember, this is basically Gem and the Holograms for the new millennium, has a specific role within the band. I suppose that's not terribly uncommon for this sort of thing. Most cartoons have some sort of leader / sexpot / brain / substance abuse guy / talking dog hierarchy going on. Even so, it lands a little weird seeing it all laid out in such black and white terms.
Sorry, was that Scooby-Doo? Do that again.
The sexpot. Leader / sexpot / brain / substance abuse guy / talking dog.
Yeah, that's Scooby-Doo.
Yes, it is. Here's the roster along with the real life performers who will give them their voice. I can't be bothered to go through this, to be honest.
Is there anyone famous? Because Madison Beer was in the girl band.
Do you know Baekhyun, a member of real world K-pop groups EXO and Super M?
Oh, EXO are huge, I think.
Okay. Kane is the rapper and instrumentalist played by Cal Scrooby.
Oh.
As in Scrooby-Doo.
Scrooby-Doo.
an LA-based rapper known for his sports references and self-deprecating humor.
I don't know that guy.
Cassante, the co-leader / vocalist, is played by Toby Liu, a multi-talented artist born in Nigeria and raised in Chicago. Uses hip-hop, R&B... and pop with undeniable melodies. And Set is played by OZ or 0Z1 or ZI, a star on the Mandarin music scene whose debut album earned 6 nominations at the Golden Melody Awards.
Interesting.
Where he also claimed the award for Best New Artist.
That's only 4. Isn't there 6?
And a couple who I guess are more the strong silent types. Aphelios, instrumentalist, songwriter, and Yone, producer.
So Yone isn't even in the band.
Two of them aren't actually doing music.
Well, one of them's instrumentalist, so I assume he's playing an instrument.
He's like Timbaland.
Yeah, but the producer doesn't...
stands at the back with a deck or something.
Yeah. They'll all be dancing.
Right.
And being very sexy.
Yeah, I can only assume. Being dynamically different and showing
they're gonna
off...
blaze a trail to success.
Their creative
Heartsteel
differences.
Will drop its date. Which one do you think will break up the band? Who's going to have a scandal?
I can't remember any of
the
names.
Give you the names.
Kane.
Okay.
He's the only one whose name
he's
going to
kill his brother, right?
Yeah.
There you go. There's a Bible reference.
Yeah.
Heartsteel will drop its debut single, Paranoia, on October the 23rd. And I have to admit that I'm eager to see what comes of it. I was very skeptical about KDA, the pretend K-pop group that Riot rolled out back in 2018. But its first single, backed by a stylish animated video, was a legit banger. Which
the KDA songs legit banger, are actually hyper-linked. A legit banger, TBH.
Okay. Will Heartsteel duplicate that success? If I had to put my money, massive advert.
Wow.
If I had to put my money, I'm still scrolling. That's the end of the article.
That's it.
If I had to put my money.
It just ends with if I had to put my money. All right. PC Gamer, your website's not working on mobile. But, there we are. That's my weird news.
Wow. Thanks for everyone who submitted those weird news.
Yeah, great.
Thanks, guys.
Great job, guys. We'll be back next week.
Attractive.
It's time for the big discussion. Big discussion time. It's time for the big discussion that this week comes courtesy of Blake Thomas. Blake Thomas says, "Hey, Abap. Insomniac has confirmed that Spider-Man 2 will include the same accessibility option as its predecessor to skip puzzle sections of the game. How do you feel about games cutting out entire mechanics for people that don't care for that style of gameplay or are otherwise unable to complete those sections? I personally feel that there is no wrong way to play a game and that all accessibility options are a positive. What's your immediate thoughts? I have a write-up, but I think I'm going to hiccup."
Oh.
Don't wait.
Did you ask the community on this one or not?
I just asked if people were playing Spider-Man.
Right. And yeah, that's fine.
There was a various different opinions, but I didn't ask the community on this one, I'm afraid.
That's all right.
I did not have the time.
Great job, guys. True. Here's the write-up from Games Radar. Marvel Spider-Man 2 players are relieved to find out that you can skip puzzles whenever you want to in the upcoming sequel. This news comes from the Washington Post's Gene Park, who revealed via Twitter that a skip puzzle feature is immediately available in Spider-Man 2 and that you don't have to wait for a patch to access this option. If this will be your first time playing one of Insomniac's Spider-Man games, let us explain. Throughout various points in the game, players will be tasked with completing a number of circuit, spectrograph, and surveillance tower puzzles to progress through the game. Although a challenging and sometimes fun addition to the game, not everyone is a fan of the change of pace that the puzzles bring. Thankfully, in the first Marvel Spider-Man game, there was an option in the game's accessibility menu that lets you skip any puzzles that you didn't fancy or couldn't get on with during the game. One thing most people can agree on, though, is that the music that played while you were completing the puzzles was the best bit.
I have absolutely no recollection of the music at all.
It was very chill, like, light background music.
It was. News of this feature has travelled over to Reddit as well, where several fans took the opportunity to share their thoughts on Spider-Man's puzzles. "Puzzles are one of my favourite parts of games, but it's great that people have options," one user shared. "I like puzzles, but always skip them on repeat playthroughs. They're not fun the second time around," another fan has said. "I'm operating on a single brain cell, so sometimes puzzles are a bit much for me. Glad to know I can skip them if I get into trouble," a final player adds.
What lovely, rational opinions everyone is sharing with one another.
It may have been cherry-picked.
Slightly cherry-picked, yeah.
Yes, probably.
Yeah. However you feel about the game's puzzles, it's great to see that Insomniac is continuing to implement a number of accessibility options in its games, as well as this puzzle skip option. Marvel Spider-Man 2 will let you slow down combat for better accessibility and will have custom difficulty settings so that you can fine-tune combat and stealth separately.
Mm.
Now, obviously, we're all enjoying Spider-Man 2 right now.
Yeah,
we are.
As you're listening to this, we're probably enjoying Spider-Man 2 right
and
now.
There's a good chance a lot of you are enjoying it as well. They've always been fantastic with their accessibility options, Sony first party. Yeah. So what do you reckon, Peter? What do you make of this?
I think it's a very good idea. I think even just generally, accessibility options are a good thing. I mean, I don't just mean it's good to have accessibility options, but I mean in the face of people who get angry about accessibility options, I think, no, shut up, you're wrong. I think part of the reason why people get mad about things like this where you can skip sections or it makes combat a lot easier is, they're saying, oh, well, I play on the hardest mode and I don't like make my combat easier and I sit and I do all the puzzles. I'm better than you. Mm. Well, that's fine. You can, in your little head, think about how good you are that you were able to play through the game on the hardest difficulty with no kind of combat-related accessibility options enabled or puzzle skips or anything like that. That's fine. But why shouldn't other people who aren't bothered about the prestige of playing through a game in that way be able to, skip past things, either for convenience, like with a second playthrough. I hadn't even thought about that. But mm-hmm. yeah, like if I was playing through the game a second time, wouldn't necessarily want to stop and do every puzzle. Or for, you know, actual like needs that they have, whether they're physical or otherwise. You know, I think that's only a good thing. And I don't really think how anyone in good conscience could actually say this should not be an option. That's what we're talking about here, an option that you can enable or disable. Mm-hmm. So, I know someone who, when I have played particularly the circuit ones, where, you know, they start out pretty simple and it's just basically draw a line. And then as it gets more complicated, you have to like add and subtract numbers, don't you, to like reach the end.
Yeah.
And there's someone very dear to me who I just know they would really struggle with that. I think it's always good in a video game to just be able to go, you know what, it's not for me. I am very capable and very keen to swing around as Spider-Man in a city.
I want to punch, not think.
I want to punch, yeah. But I don't want to stop and start doing, you know, a more complicated version of BioShock's pipe puzzles.
Music's a banger, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Music is a banger.
That's the best. In fact,
a literal banger, hyperlinked.
You want to know what a literal banger is? I cut off the final part of the article where they said, don't worry, though, in the new one, the great music is back.
Yes.
Did people really love the music? I remember it being very chill and nice, like you said, but I don't. It wasn't a standout.
I didn't think it didn't stand out to me.
Yeah. I think it's fine, and I think it's great. And I think that, like, it's not the first time these kind of things are happening, but like you say, Sony first party do tend to have these options a lot more kind of inbuilt within them. It's the same thing like skipping QTEs or adding more time to quick time events and or like dialogue choices depending on the game. It's no different than that kind of element of just making life a little bit easier or turning it from a tap button to hold button.
Yes.
Because that's just how people like to play. I know that you when we played the wrestling one, you had the...
Yeah, I often change it from tap to hold just because that's easier.
And we all enabled in Star Wars the if you fall off a cliff, you don't
lose
health. Yeah. Which was handy.
Yeah.
Useful for me.
Exactly. And also, like, we've all talked about how, like, when we've played games sometimes, we've gone down to an easier difficulty or we've changed the way combat is. It doesn't affect anyone else. And it's great to see that more studios are implementing more accessibility for everyone. Because at the end of the day, it's not just people who need these additional like needs in their game, not people with disabilities or anything. It's helpful to everyone and everyone can access them. There's no like rule that you have to be legally blind to be able to access the accessibility options. They're for everyone and everyone can tailor the way that they play their game however they want to. And it's never, ever going to be a bad thing because it just makes everyone's life much easier. Maybe not the devs who had to implement all this stuff, but everyone else's lives are a lot easier. I think I've read online that in December,
yes,
there is a second patch that's going to add even more accessibility options, which I do think a lot of disabled gamers are kind of holding out playing Spider-Man until these options get brought in. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what is being added, but I think it's just generally to make life easier. I don't know if it's like
a low visibility
mode, like how The Last of Us Part 2 had
different filters.
I think they might be adding those later on, but for now there is kind of basic accessibility options that are currently in the game, which again is brilliant, and I'm happy that we are seeing this more and more. I think we've talked about it before about how sometimes it feels like a second thought. But I'm glad to see that it's becoming more normal.
I've got it here.
Cool, thank you.
There's going to be some screen reader stuff, some shortcuts to the screen reader status, additional audio descriptions.
Womp.
Some subtitle and captions adjustments as well. Obviously, all these things are already in there, but it sounds like they're just enhancing.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting out a version of it at launch and they're going to continue to iterate on it.
Yeah.
Mono audio output, the aim arc color, the target arc color, the center dot color, high contrast options, touchpad in combat, you can turn that off, controller remapping and customizing layouts and stuff like that. So there is a huge list of stuff that is going to be in there at launch.
Mm-hmm.
But they are either adding new things or tweaking existing things when that update comes out in December.
There's so much that, you know, as a gamer who, generally speaking, doesn't necessarily require many or any accessibility options enabled, there's so many things that you don't even think about. Like mono audio, for a minute I thought, I wonder why that, and I was like, oh, well, because if you are hard of hearing in one ear,
yeah.
And you've got an alert happening on that side, yeah. And not because it's stereo, then you're going to miss that. So there are a lot of things that, you know, it's great that we can do this nowadays. I mean, actually, mono and stereo are a really old setting, but yeah, generally, there are so many things now you can do in video games, mm-hmm. which is handy.
It's fantastic. Yeah. As you guys have both said, it is lovely to see. I don't know how anyone could get cross about this, quite yeah. frankly. As you said, Peter, if you want the prestige of beating a game a certain way, then have at it. Mm. That's all on you, my friend. But as soon as you start to try to deny other people who can't access the same games as you access to those games, then maybe you need to have a rethink on your policy, your personal policy when it comes to that stuff. But this is great. This is really nice. As I said, in the link dump, there will be a link to all of the accessibility options if you want to check them out. But there's a chance that you're playing the game already and you've seen them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So I honestly don't know what more I can add on top of what you guys have said, apart from the fact that long may this continue.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will get even better stuff as time goes by. I know a lot of disabled people who are advocates are actively working with developers to help develop this technology.
Yeah.
Like you just said there, Peter, with the mono stuff, I imagine there'll be a time when headphones and audio outputs are complex enough that it's sort of stereo within the one speaker. Like you'll be able to, you'll be able to sort of distinctly pick out directional sound
through one ear,
which, you know, would be amazing for people who need that and also people who don't need that. You know, that will really enhance everyone's playing experiences. And that kind of innovation is driven by trying to find solutions for people to get better access to these games. Mm-hmm. So it can only be a benefit to everyone, essentially. And it's wonderful. And I hope people enjoy Spider-Man 2. I know we are because we heard from our future selves in the intro.
Yeah, we did. I do think as well, sorry, just to add this at the end, Sony have been making a lot of strides publicly, like with the accessible controller that they've brought out, mm-hmm. the circle one. And I do think that notoriously when a Sony first party game comes out, you can pretty much rely on the fact that like it's going to have pretty good accessibility options. And hopefully, fingers crossed, Nintendo and Xbox will kind of start to follow that kind of
Xbox
base.
Is getting
they definitely
a lot
are
and they've had their adaptive controller out for quite
they
a while
have
well.
And but I mean
Nintendo
are
they
quite
are kicking their
this.
Heels on yeah. this front.
And there are some third parties as well
there are some third parties
you know, some of the
definitely
big
Waff.
Yeah
oh
are, exactly,
that was unacceptable
who aren't doing who haven't yet caught up with them.
For those of you who aren't aware, when we did our stream playthrough of the Dead Space remake, which is obviously from EA, we turned on the
menu
screen
narration.
Menu narration. Just because we thought the voice was kind of funny, and we got to experience firsthand how crap it is. Not only is the synthesized voice haunting, it also mispronounces everything and sometimes gets really confused or just doesn't read anything
it
at
just
all.
Starts saying the same thing over and over again rather
terrible.
Than like actually reading
really
what's
terrible.
On screen, because it's supposed to do things like what door you're going through to tell you like if the door's open or not, and it just wouldn't. And it's,
instead of off, it would go waff. But it wouldn't tell you what was waff.
No.
It would just say it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah.
It was
really,
bad.
Really weird. But we've come a long way and we've still got a long way to go. Nintendo, step it up.
Yes.
Quite frankly.
Please. Yeah.
Well, there we are. Big old podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for coming along and spending some time with us, either in video form or audio form. There's a few places around the internet where you can interact with us if you should so desire to so do so do so. And Peter's going to tell you one of them.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube.com and Twitch.tv, both /TeamTripleJump. All of our videos go out on YouTube and almost all of our streams happen on Twitch with occasional little surprises on YouTube. But Twitch is the place to be. And if you've got Amazon Prime, part of the bundle that you are paying for includes a Twitch sub that you can spend on us at no extra cost, or redeem with us at no extra cost, and you'll get all the benefits of being a subscriber without having to pay anything more on top of your Amazon Prime. So maybe do that if you'd like to.
We have a Twitter,
or even if you don't want to.
If you don't want to.
Sorry, Ashton.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, on which we are at Team Triple Jump on all of them. And if you want to join our Patreon, why not go to patreon.com/Team Triple Jump.
Our website is triplej.mup. That is where you can find everything, links to everything that we do. And even if you don't want to, leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice.
Forgot to say, podcast, yeah? At the beginning, the Tat Appeal is open now.
Oh my God,
it
is, yeah.
No one's going to be listening now, but Tat Appeal is open if you want to send some stuff in.
Tat Appeal is open. 18th of November is when it closes. We should add that to every single podcast.
It's a good point.
For the future. But yes, thank you so much. We've already received some Tat, which is bonkers, quite frankly. But even if you're not in a position to send in Tat, we hope you enjoy the video that we release towards the end of the year. And thank you in advance for your support. 5-star review on your platform of choice. Thank you very much. It helps to do with something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. I don't really know what it has to do with that, but that's what I'm told by Al. So we'll take his word for it. Peter, can you tell us our sponsor just one last time?
Look out, swinging into a neighborhood near you.
Thwipping. Pow.
Schnickting. It's Dead Island 2, The Spider-Man 2. Marvels.
Brilliant.
Marvels at the end.
It's out now. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.